Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 113, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Addie Ganley. Addie has two blogs, Frugal Fanatic and Simply Blogging Along, and she has great advice for us. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are pleased to welcome Addie Ganley. Addie blogs at Simply Blogging Along and Frugal Fanatic. She lives in Pittsburgh, PA with her husband and three boys. Yay, Pittsburgh! Welcome to the show, Addie.
Hi, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Addie, could you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and how you got started blogging?
Sure. I am living in the South Hills of Pittsburgh, and it is about 5 minutes away from the house I grew up in, so we really love this area. I come from a big family, and we've always been really close, and all of us stayed really close, so family is a huge priority for me. My husband and I spend as much time as we can outdoors with our three boys and our two dogs. Life is pretty hectic, but I love every single minute of it. As for business, I have been blogging for a little bit over 4 years now. I didn't get serious with it until I was about 2 years in. I made the decision to really commit myself and decide if this was me worth my time. My first blog was Frugal Fanatic, and as most bloggers do, it started out as a hobby. At that time, I was a new mom, and I just wanted an outlet to share how my family and I was saving money in hopes that I could share my tips and tricks with other moms or new moms out there so they could do the same things that we were doing to cut back and save money. Once I committed myself to blogging, I really found out that I truly loved it and I'm passionate about it. And that actually led me to the recent launch of my second blog, Simply Blogging Along.
And I wanted to point out for anybody listening that Addie and I accidentally discovered that we live about 3 minutes away from each other.
Yeah, seriously. How crazy.
In real life, through a series of just online connections, we found out that we lived super, super close. I can actually see the house she grew up in from my front door.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it was so crazy going back and forth in emails, discovering, oh, you're from Pittsburgh? Oh, we're in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. So we've had the chance to get together in real life, which has also been fun, which is how I learned that Addie really knows what she's doing when it comes to blogging. So, Addie, you were mentioning that you started out with Frugal Fanatic, and then you just recently started Simply Blogging Along. So, what motivated you to start that second blog?
Like I mentioned before, I am really passionate about blogging. I knew I wanted to write about my experiences and knowledge about my blogging journey that far. But at the time, my audience on Frugal Fanatic was really used to saving money and also making money articles. So I really didn't think that that was a place to share what I have learned. And that's what really led me to start the next blog. And plus, I really wanted to be able to focus on life as a mom blogger and a business owner and to show readers that it could be done. Because I do have people on Frugal Fanatic that are asking me about what I do and if I make an income and how I do it all. And I just really felt that need to start that blog. But running two blogs is definitely, definitely tough. I'm definitely learning as I go. There's so many things that I forgot about that I started when I did Frugal Fanatic that I'm now doing for Simply Blogging Along, like little things that I set up. And you forget all the little details that goes into starting a blog and the social media and networking with other bloggers. And there's a lot involved with it.
Yeah. So I'm curious, has it been easier to grow Simply Blogging Along because of your, experience with Frugal Fanatic, or does it feel like it still is just as hard because it's just hard to grow a new website?
I would say, I have the background and I have the knowledge on what to do. So I have the outlets. I kind of know where I should be going and setting goals and stuff, but it definitely is still tough. It's tough to get a readership that is loyal to you and enjoys what you're writing about and building that relationship, because not everyone who reads Frugal Fanatic comes over to my other blog. So I am starting fresh and I am getting to know these new people and see what their interests are and being able to provide them what they need and not just me, like, here, this is what I like to do. This is how to blog. Like, I really need to find out what they like. So it has been hard building that audience, and having both of them at the same time definitely makes it difficult.
Yeah, I'm curious about that aspect with two blogs. And so right now I'm guessing Frugal Fanatic is like your bread and butter right now because that's been around for longer and you've already built up that readership. But you're really excited about this new venture. You're passionate about the topic on Simply Blogging Along. So how do you split your time? That would be tough, I would imagine. We all know there's always more to do. There's always more you want to do or things you want to write about. So how have you done it, and how have you split up your time between the two?
It's definitely been tough. And it's hard because I feel like with anything new, it's really exciting. So I want to put so much time towards Simply Blogging Along. But like you said, Frugal Fanatic is the bread and butter. It is the heart of why I'm blogging and how I make money. So I can't let it just like be pushed to the back burner. What I try to do is I really stick to like a really good schedule, and I set certain time blocks in the morning, even during nap time, and then at night. And during those times, I dedicate myself to the task that needs to be done. So I have like a must-do list for that day. So I make sure like at night is when I write. Even if it's no matter which site it is, like I write because I've like trained my brain to write at that time. But I do try to split it up. I'd say it's probably like 75-25 right now. 75% is going to Frugal Fanatic because there's just so much more on a daily basis. Whereas Simply Blogging Along, I don't have to rush it. I don't have a lot of deadlines. I haven't even put ads up on that site. So it is more relaxed. So when I get to write those articles, I do take my time a little bit more because I'm not posting as much or as frequently. But I do really stick to a schedule because it is the only way I can get things done. Otherwise, I would probably just sit on Pinterest all day long.
Yeah, that's so true. It's so easy to just lose track of time and realize, like, wait, what did I say I was going to do during this hour of time? Yeah, versus if you, like, write it down and you time block it and you're like, nope, this is the goal. This is the goal for this little block of time.
Yes, I'm much more productive that way.
So I'm curious, Addie, how often do you post to frugalfanatic.com? And also related, like, what are your traffic numbers over there? It looks like you're doing amazing.
With Frugal Fanatic, I used to publish probably like 6 to 7 articles a week, but I've really cut that back because I want my posts to be genuine and I want to be able to spend as much time as I can on them. So right now it's about 3 to 4 articles a week that I'm posting, and that gives me enough time to properly promote them and do what I need to do to make sure that everything is in there before I hit publish and after I hit publish. As far as growth, this has been a really great year. Like I said, Frugal Fanatic started out really small as a hobby, and once I committed, within 4 months, I went from like 10,000 page views to over 100,000.
Wow.
And since then, I'm close to, I think it should probably be like 500,000 this month.
Wow. That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, a lot of it I can contribute to Pinterest, though. I'm sure, as most bloggers would agree, like Pinterest is a huge, huge growth for me, at least. And that was a big deal whenever I made that commitment 2 years ago. I totally changed my pins and my Pinterest strategy, and that's what took me from 10,000 to over 100,000 within 4 months.
Wow. Even that right there, going from 10,000 page views to over 100,000 in 4 months, I mean, that's incredible. That shows you right there, clearly you know what you're doing with blogging, and you know how to help other bloggers do that same thing.
Yeah,
can you hire you?
It was good to see, like, you can, if you put in the time and you make a plan, like, you really can get there.
So I'm curious what some of these tweaks to your Pinterest strategy were. Do you mind sharing any of those things that you tried that worked for you?
Sure. Well, at the time, I was not doing, like, a specific picture. I didn't even know that vertical was better than horizontal at that time. So just switching and making them vertical and giving a really good, compelling description seemed to entice people to want to pin more. And now I think a lot of it, what I do is I pin a lot less of my own and pin a lot more of other people's content. And that really affected my Pinterest account and how many followers I had and the traffic that I get. And another big thing, which I'm sure everyone does now, I feel like on Pinterest, is adding like small words or somehow to the picture so that people can immediately see it, know what it's about, and repin it.
Awesome. So Addie, how many hours would you say you spend on Pinterest every week?
On a weekly basis, I've really, really cut it down because I have a set strategy that I follow now. So I would say per week, probably maybe about 5 hours. And that would be scheduling, that would be manually pinning, even creating pins, following people, just every little thing that I do with Pinterest. I mean, I constantly have it open, but I'm not always working on it. So I'd probably say like 5 hours maybe.
Okay. And that's clearly time well spent considering the tremendous growth you've had for your blog traffic because of those 5 hours. And even I know you said, you know, before maybe it was more than that, but you know, now that you've got things rolling, that's great. And just for all of our listeners, I'm checking out your Pinterest right now. You've got over 31,000 followers.
Yeah. So, crazy.
Yeah. That's awesome. And you, let's see, 89 boards. And so, you know, clearly you've got all these boards at the top that are exactly what your audience wants to see: making money, frugal living, work from home, money saving tips. So yeah, your Pinterest account looks awesome.
Did you create a separate Pinterest account for Simply Blogging Along, or are you trying to combine that with Frugal Fanatic?
I did. I just recently did. I thought about it first. I wasn't going to because the thought of having another Pinterest account really like scared me. But I did start it because it is different content and it is a lot of different audience. So I wanted to at least have it. It's probably been maybe like a week and a half. I've really started pinning to it and creating some boards. But I feel like it is necessary because Pinterest really is a game changer for blogs.
That is tough having two separate Pinterest.
It is. I have to log in and then log out. And then if I want to pin from someone else's website, I'm like, wait, which account am I on right now? So it is hard.
Pinterest has to, at some point, come up with a solution to that problem. I just feel like if anybody at Pinterest has got their thinking brains on, they've got to realize that a lot of bloggers do have multiple blogs and they need to address that issue.
I know. I originally thought I was just going to do like a group board and I could pin for both of them on there, but it didn't really work out well, so I didn't do that.
Now, you do have a little bit of overlap in topics because I know on Frugal Fanatic, I noticed that you, in addition to saving money, you also do a lot of posts about making money on Frugal Fanatic. So do you think it's that audience that was interested in those making money articles that are kind of following you on Simply Blogging Along as well?
Yes, I really think that. Whenever I started Frugal Fanatic, I had no intentions of going into making money. But as time went on, like I really was personally doing things to make money online, like blogging or filling out surveys or using eBay or just anything myself. And then I started getting emails and comments from readers asking how they could do it because they were a new mom or they needed to make a little bit of side income. So once I started posting it, I was like shocked to see the outcome. Like people were thanking me and they're excited to get my newsletter and it just really felt right, even though I know like the name Frugal Fanatic, I was like really worried because it's not about making money. But then once I went to Simply Blogging Along and I kind of talk about blogging a little bit on both of them, a lot of those readers I did see started signing up for my Simply Blogging Along newsletter. And I did receive a couple emails and they're like, thank you so much. Like, we can't wait. Like, I'd love to be a blogger. And we wanted more in depth about that. So I really do think a lot of them came over that way.
So Addie, I think it's really interesting how on your new blog, Simply Blogging Along, you're kind of combining this concept of being a blogger and a parent and how that works together when, you know, blogging and parenting collide. What made you decide to choose that focus where it's not just the blogging, it's kind of combining the two?
Well, I really wanted people to not only see that it's possible to be a blogger and a mom, but to see what it's really like behind the scenes. Blogging, as you guys know, it's not easy. It takes a lot of effort and hard work like every other business out there. But I wanted people to know, like, it can be done, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a working mom and you only do it part-time. I just wanted people to see that those two worlds can collide and they don't have to be separated. Like, there's so many times where my boys help me with my blog and they love it. And it's really cute because my oldest tells people now that he's going to work from home. And it's like, so cute to even hear him say that. But, and I know like a lot of blogs out there, they only teach how to blog and they talk to you about what they do. And I just wanted to start sharing tips on like running a household and a blog together.
I really like that focus. It reminds me kind of, I mean, with Brilliant Business Moms, we're catering to a similar audience, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it is a different ballgame, I think, when you combine the kids and the family and the home on top of blogging. We all know stories of very successful male bloggers who put in 100 hours a week and then, oh, all of a sudden they exploded into this multi-million-dollar money-making machine. Mm-hmm. But it's different when you're trying to make sure you're concentrating on your family as well.
Yeah.
So I like that. So what would you say? We've been talking about both of your blogs a lot. They're clearly doing well. So what would you say is your number one tip for somebody who's starting a blog and they're trying to grow their readership? What would you suggest to them?
It's tough to pick one thing, but I would say that at the top of my list would be for a blogger who's trying to grow their blog or they're new, I would say just really focus on writing amazing content that your readers will not only be compelled to share, but they can really relate to. I feel like a lot of times bloggers will just post an article just for the sheer fact of posting. Like, they stress the night before, they're trying to get something up, and they're afraid like they're not going to have a new article out there. And then it might not be to the level that they wanted it to be. So you just really need to be able to provide value by solving your readers' everyday problems. Like, focus on writing awesome content and you'll really pave the way for a successful blog.
That's a great point, Addie. And, you know, I think as much as like those awesome pins, that's going to attract people and get them to come over to your site. But having awesome content is why they're going to day.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you want them to stick around. So if they come there because you have like this really cool pin, you don't want them to come to an article that they're disappointed in.
Yeah. And I have to say, more and more on Pinterest, we love Pinterest too. It's awesome. Great to get traffic. But like, there are a lot of disappointing articles.
I know.
Like that,
I know. I feel the same way.
Where you think it's got like they've clearly mastered the art of a great pin and a great headline to catch your attention. And then you head over and you're like, oh my goodness, this is just like.
Yeah, it was just to get you there. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the old bait and switch routine, just enticing people with that image but then letting them down on the other end. That seems, but I like, why would people do that for a strategy?
I have no idea.
It doesn't seem to make any sense.
I'm sure it's probably just for the ad income.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, because I've seen a lot of blogs like that too, where you can tell they're clearly getting a lot of traffic, but they're just like, there's ads like everywhere. There's like mm-hmm. the video ones and like the pop-up ones and the everything. And for them, so it really is just about, it becomes a content factory. It's like, let me just get out as many articles as I can, because then that's more ways to get people to my site.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not the same approach as, you know, Addie, clearly you're writing quality stuff and then you build up, in addition to all your great Pinterest traffic, you get that loyal readership too.
Yeah, and they stick around and they'll sign up for your email list and they come back. And I mean, you don't want someone that's just going to stop by, get what they want and leave. Like, your whole concept is to get them to stay there and you can build a relationship with them.
So Addie, you recently released an ebook and workbook called Breakthrough, the complete guide to growing your platform and blogging your way to a full-time income. How has the release gone? And could you maybe share a little bit with us? Like, what were some things that went well about marketing your book and workbook, and maybe some things you would change?
The launch went really well. I definitely learned a lot throughout the entire process. This was the first book that I actually like had a launch plan for. I put out like a small ebook last year, and I kind of just like threw it out there. And I know it was like shocking for people on Frugal Fanatic because they're probably like, hey, what? She just wrote a book. Like, I didn't market it. I didn't do anything. And it didn't do well because I didn't do like the legwork. So I definitely learned a lot putting out Breakthrough. It is a ton of work, especially when I'm like the only one doing all the behind the scenes and the details and the planning. And it was hard, but I would say that one of the best things I did was guest posting. I did a lot of posts on other blogs about topics that related to the book. So on the day that it did launch, I got a lot of traffic to my landing page from those blogs, and they promoted me on social media. And it was just really nice to have that support from other bloggers helping out and being there. And half of them didn't even sign up to be an affiliate for the book. So it was just nice to have that and to get that traffic. So that definitely worked really well as a strategy in launching the book. I would say one of the things I would have changed was probably the timing, because I released that book about a month after Simply Blogging Along went live. So I was hoping to have that blog up much sooner, but I had a lot of setbacks. So I didn't really have an established readership who was genuinely interested in blogging. So I know that the launch probably would have went better if I would have waited and I gained more audience and I had a bigger email list and I knew people were only interested in how to blog or how to monetize their blog. I think it would have went a lot better.
Now, when we've met in person, this is something we've talked about, which I find this interesting. You sell Breakthrough on your own website. You sell it on Amazon as an ebook and paperback. And you also have it on Audible. Which platform and format tends to sell best for you?
As of right now, I would say selling on my site with the affiliates has been the best. The ebook version on Amazon definitely sells the least. It seems like more people are buying the paperback on Amazon. And I definitely learned a lot about that because I didn't really put enough legwork into learning about Amazon and launching a book on there. And I'll know that for like the next product that I sell, like looking into the categories and using different keywords and ranking. And there's just a lot more involved that I did not do this time around. But surprisingly, I would say my affiliates and just selling it on my site do the best. The Audible version really shocked me because when I launched Breakthrough, I really never even thought of selling an Audible version until I received requests from readers. And now that Audible version is selling a lot more copies than I would have ever anticipated.
So I'm curious, Addie, like how many Audible copies do you sell in, let's say, a week or in a month?
The Audible version just went out, I think it wasn't live until like mid-July. And from July until the end of August, I think there was more than like 200 copies of the Audible version downloaded.
Wow.
Holy cow.
I mean, for me not having to like, I didn't have to do anything for that really. I mean, I kind of promoted a little bit, but I don't even think I have on my blog anywhere that I'm selling it in an Audible version. Like if you go on Amazon, you'll see it. But I guess maybe as it being a new book on ACX, it must have gotten pushed to the front somehow, or so. I was just really shocked.
Wow.
And Bethy and Addie found this amazing, see, I've got to get on this for our book. I know I do. I keep putting it off. Addie found this amazing person through the ACX website, correct, Addie?
Yes, it was through ACX.
Okay, which is the website that you use to get your audiobook.
Yeah, it's an Amazon platform.
Yeah. So similar to CreateSpace for paperback, except ACX for the audio version on Audible. And do you mind sharing, Addie, with everyone the total amount that you paid her to record and edit and get it uploaded to Audible for you?
She agreed to, it was $20 an hour, and my book was like 3.8 hours. So it was like 70-some dollars that I paid her, and I literally did nothing. She put it together, she edited it, and even when ACX, they came back and said like there were some pauses at the end and there were some heavy breathing, I guess, she had at the end. Like, she did all of that for me. I didn't have to do anything again, and then it was done.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That's insane.
Yeah, I know. For the price I paid and having, I mean, it was just nice because I was clueless when it came to that. I've never done that before.
So I was going to say, related to the audiobook. Okay, so here's what I think is really exciting for anyone out there who's listening is getting your book, going from an ebook to an audiobook is an incredible opportunity because one, you can stand to make more money potentially on each sale. Like, okay, so that's one question I have for you, Addie. Do you know how much commission do you get for each audiobook sale?
Well, they have a program where they give a bounty, and then they also, it depends on what type of customer the person is downloading it. Like if they have a membership or if they're just using credits, it's different for each one. But okay. ACX has like this really cool bounty program that I guess if it's someone new and they purchase your book first with their credits and then they stay on for 60 days, you get $50 for it.
Wow.
But that I have some of them in there I've never been paid for yet. But I would say it's probably around half, I think, the commission I get.
Okay, so half the sale price.
Yes.
Okay. Then the other thing I was going to say for everyone listening, and this is another reason why audiobooks are so exciting, is so many people aren't doing it. There's this higher barrier to entry because you got to figure out, you know, like Addie did, you know, the research and found someone great to read her book and edit it, or you've got to read it yourself or whatever you decide. But like, so I went on Audible and I searched for blogging. So like I'm a blogger. Let's say I want to find books about blogging. There are only 55 results. In Audible, on audible.com, which you're thinking like Audible is huge, you know, tons and tons of books, only 55 results. So like Addie's book, of course, is on the first page of results for blogging. And so I think that's another reason why it's so powerful. The market space for the audiobooks is not as flooded. And then two, it's like, you know, so many people are so busy. I think clearly with like the rise of podcasts and things like that, people are maybe more likely to consume your content if you can get it into audio form.
Yeah, I was surprised at that. A lot of the emails I received from people asking because they, I guess they'll listen to the book on their way into work or on their way home or if they're traveling. Like it actually like never crossed my mind because I personally read like 3 or 4 books a week and I never have an Audible version. But my sister, on the other hand, she always listens to that and she was like really pushing me to do it. And I'm really glad that I did.
That's really awesome. That's good to hear. And I agree. It's whereas if you typed in blogging on Amazon, you're going to get
hundreds.
Yeah. So many results. Yeah. I think it's definitely an untapped market. And I think you've shown our listeners that anybody can do this.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't. Inexpensive.
Right. Yeah. Now, I think you did find a phenomenal person.
Well, I think they said on average people charge between like $15 and $50 an hour.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah, you did your homework. You found a nice lower priced person. So, yes, this is an opportunity for so many people who have, you've done the work to make a book or an ebook. So then just take it that one step further.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I wonder if it helps Amazon rankings. I don't know the answer to this. If it helps Amazon rankings when they see that you have your book in all three formats.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised, I guess, if Amazon gave those items preference.
I was going to try to look just for reference. So, like, there are only 55 results on Audible for blogging. There's 10,435 results for blogging on Amazon. So,
yeah, it's hard to rank on Amazon, especially with a book that when I was selling it, like $15.99 compared to someone will sell one for $2.99, even though it may not be as long or as in-depth, like people are more inclined to purchase the cheaper book.
Right.
That would be tough, right? And then when there's so many options to choose from, you may have a tons better high-quality book compared to the $2.99 version, but because there's so many options to wade through – yeah, I could see how a lot of people just go for the cheap and they don't even know what they're missing. Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that despite how good Audible's doing, your own website is really doing the best for selling of Breakthrough. And you mentioned to me that you use WooCommerce for your shopping cart system on your blog. So could you tell us how does WooCommerce work? How easy is it to set up? What are some of the benefits of using WooCommerce?
Sure. I recently set up WooCommerce to create a shop for both of my blogs. I just kind of felt like it was inevitable because I was tired of paying monthly fees for my accounts on eJunkie and for my landing pages. And it was hard. I wanted to have one place to manage everything to just make it easier and host it on my own blog so that I could pay the fee up front for what I needed, and then I would own it and I wouldn't have to pay the monthly fee and follow with all the updates and everything else through someone else's program. So it is really easy. The WooCommerce plugin is actually free. You can change a lot of things. You can purchase themes through them. So I set up a subdomain for both of my blogs. So it's like shop.frugalfanatic.com. So I was able to use a different WordPress login, and I have its own theme and everything on there. And then after that, I purchased Affiliate WP. So I would have my own affiliate program, and it integrates seamlessly with WooCommerce and WordPress. So I did pay the one-time fee for that program. And then I am now able to run like specific promotions or even discount codes per affiliate. And I can now update creatives whenever I want, and I can put them in there, and the affiliates can easily track the referrals, their visits, even their conversions on a daily basis. I know, like for me personally, I do a lot of affiliate marketing on both my blogs. So I know, like, to be able to see those conversions and your click-through rates and your performance, like, it's really good to see what's working and what's not working. So I know I go into my affiliate accounts and I check out my stats so I can change things or add affiliate links. So I wanted my affiliates to be able to have that information as well. And I know through eJunkie, I had a couple problems where I had people who were affiliates on my first book saying that they felt that their links weren't being tracked right, and they thought people were clicking on them and they weren't making the money from it. And it was just hard. So at least this way I can manage it all. I can see it. I can run promotions, and it's just been really simple for me.
That's great. I think that's smart how you said you have your own domain for the store.
For yes.
The shop part. Okay. Because the one thing I had heard about WP Affiliate, I've heard amazing things about it, but I've heard that it can slow your site down potentially. But you've pretty much solved that problem because you're just using a separate site. You know what I mean? And then you can still click right over to your shop or whatever from your main website, but then that way you're not worried about like your shop and all of that slowing the speed down.
Yeah, and I wanted the shop to have like a different look and feel to it. I didn't want to look like my website, so it was more like a store or an online marketplace. So it just seemed like the easiest thing was just set up a subdomain, and I had like a separate WordPress login and could change anything on there.
So to use WooCommerce, do people have to go the separate subdomain route, or they don't have to do that?
No, they don't have to. I think the majority of people who use WooCommerce, though, are stores, like maybe a business who wants to have an online store, or maybe it's just an online shop completely. So I don't know how well it would work just having a separate page without that subdomain, because you wouldn't really be able to change a lot of items. The only plus side would probably be like if you had different places on your blog where you mention your book, you could just have like the shopping cart right there. So someone could just click it and put it right into their shopping cart rather than having to click over to a store and then add it to a shopping cart.
Okay. And which payment options are available if you use WooCommerce?
Well, WooCommerce is free, but you have to pay for their themes if you wanted an upgraded theme. So I think I purchased a theme and I used it on both of my shops, and I think it was maybe like $30 for the theme, but you're able to change a lot of stuff on there.
And I think too, we were curious, like, does WooCommerce integrate with PayPal, or can you do Stripe, or like how does a shopper pay for their product from you?
I have mine set up with PayPal. It integrates with it. And then I believe they do also offer Stripe. I can do a payment gateway if I want to do credit cards. They even offer if you were shipping a product, like cash on delivery. And they have a bunch of different options on there. But yeah, I just put in my PayPal ID and it connected to it.
Landing pages could really start to get expensive throughout the years, paying every month for the landing page. So by making a couple early on decisions or paying a little bit upfront for your theme and things like that, you can save a lot of money long term then.
Yeah, and you never know when a company, like a landing page, if it does not work well or if they raise their fees or I just didn't want to really get into a lot of that stuff. I wanted to do it now from the beginning and just stick with it.
Do you think your customers miss having a big landing page to showcase your products, or do you feel like they haven't complained about not having, because a nice landing page is all decked out with all sorts of information and pretty pictures, and it's normally very long and tons of customer reviews. So do you think you've lost anything by not including those items?
Well, with WooCommerce, the theme that I did, they have a landing page template, and it's literally just like having a post in WordPress, but they have a lot of short codes and stuff. So on my new landing page, it almost looks identical to the one I had before, except for now it literally has the shopping cart button on it, and it's on that subdomain. So once, if they land on that page first, they can see my whole landing page, and if not, if they land on the cart page first, they can click over and read more details if they want. So it is still on there. It looks the same as my old one that I paid for.
Okay, so when they click on, so if they go to your shop, the shop, and click on your book, mm-hmm. it takes them to something that looks identical to your old landing page.
Yes, they can land on that one, or it can go straight to the cart, depending on, I have it in a couple different places because I wanted to test to see which one seemed to do better.
Okay. Do you have results? Can you tell yet, or has it been too soon?
It actually seems like people are liking just the cart option more. Like on WooCommerce, it'll have a picture with a short description, and then if they scroll down, I have a place for a longer description. And I don't know if it's just the ease of purchase, maybe, but it seems like people like it more simple. So the landing page, it hasn't gotten as many hits on it as just the cart.
I think that's really interesting. And I have to say, and I know Sarah and I have chatted about this a little bit, but sometimes I feel like we think in online business that we always have to have these big, long, fancy landing pages. But then I was like with our planner, for example, so we have like a big landing page. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like, yeah, but like people are used to buying a planner. Like, why are we trying to sell so hard for a product that is like, we're selling it for $25. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to like talk to people for 30 minutes to convince them to like buy this planner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I totally agree. And I feel like if you go anywhere else outside of blogs, they don't give that much information. I mean, you just online shop and you see it and you buy it. It's not like you need all this, every single detail possible. So
I wonder too if the female blogging world is a little different from the male blogging world. Like, I wonder if us females are trying to, like, are women maybe easier to sell to if you already have that relationship and you're not trying to really sell them. You're just trying to talk about something. So maybe men who started blogging initially, they started this big, huge landing page because they're the salesmen mm-hmm. that are really trying to like pound it into you, buy my $1,000 course.
Yeah.
And others have adopted that method, but maybe like women to women,
yeah,
we don't need, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is. I mean, I feel like I personally, like I like to know a lot of details, but I hate feeling like I'm being sold something. Like to me, like a lot of landing pages, that's all it is. It's like buy now and like do this and this is so great. Like I just wanted to see it real. Like not everything's perfect. Like just let me see it and then I'll decide. Like I don't need all that stuff on a landing page.
Yeah, and I bet most women don't like the idea of being sold mm-hmm. sold to.
Yeah.
Although you can do a huge long landing page and not put the pressure on too.
Yeah.
Like it can be done that way as well, where you have a big, beautiful landing page, but you're not like pressure selling that person too. So.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a difference too between just like, let me give you as much information as I can about my product and, you know, kind of show you some people who really like it versus, yeah, the ones that are really like you read the page and you're just like, oh my goodness, you're like psychologically manipulating me right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think too, maybe early on that sort of online, like you said, Bethann, psychological manipulation, I think it was like the name of the game. It was how things got done or how sales got made. But I wouldn't be surprised if more and more people are just sick of that. They're sick of that. You're trying the manipulation and the overkill, the hype of limited time only. You're getting this email because I think you're so special and I want you to have this because I know that you will do awesome sort of stuff.
Yeah. I have to say, inside secret here, everybody who does like those big expensive courses and they'll be like, I'm closing the doors and I'm not opening them again till whatever. Most of those people launch their courses like 4 times a year. Yeah. So not all of them. There's one I know who like, okay, she legitimately only has it once or twice a year. But everybody else, I'm like, no, you're going to be sending me these crazy emails 2 months from now. Like, I'm not convinced that this is my last chance for this thing. And not to mention, I think I'm just over – I'm sorry, this is a little bit of a rant.
Go ahead, rant away.
Like, I'm over the idea of a $1,000 course. I'm just over it. If I – for $1,000, I can hire a virtual assistant, and that's going to be more helpful to me than $1,000 on a course that, yes, maybe I'll get some awesome strategy, but at the end of the day, it's – I still – one, I have to have the time to go through the course. And two, it's going to give me a miles-long to-do list afterwards. And if I don't have time to implement all of that because, hey, I'm a mom. I have other things going on in my life. Then how – you know what I mean? Like, it's not worth it.
I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, I feel like you definitely need to invest in yourself and education and invest in your blog and your business. But, like, I guess because I'm just frugal. But, like, spending a ton of money like that, like I always try to find ways around it. And I do believe a lot of people are worth that amount of money. But like when I was starting out, I would have never, ever been able to afford something like that. And I never would spend that kind of money. I mean, you think of everything else you have in your life to spend it on. So like, maybe that's where I have a hard time, because with Simply Blogging Along, like I have a free how to start a blog mini course that I just recently put out. And like, I just want to show people like you can do this and you don't have to spend a ton of money. And I don't know. I just hate the idea of charging tons of money for stuff like this, whether it is worth it or I'm worth it. It's just hard.
It's a fine line between providing helpful information and not constantly selling somebody on a product. So you have that mini course for free. And then on the flip side, recognizing, okay, but I do have a skill. I do have knowledge and my time is valuable. It's so hard, I think, to come to that right middle ground. It's a tricky spot to find, I think.
That's true. And I will say too, there are so many women out there who I feel like are undercharging
their
products. So yeah, it totally
And I found a lot of times with my audience, they don't think the products are worth it if they're only worth like $3. They would pay for the $15 because that price puts a bigger worth on the product.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, that is very true. So, Addie, we've really enjoyed learning a lot of new things from you today. As we wrap up, could you share with us maybe a funny or adorable mom moment that has happened recently at your home?
Sure. This is definitely a funny and embarrassing moment. As a mom of 3 boys, I'm really used to hearing some pretty crazy things come out of their mouths. Not really a lot surprises me anymore or like catches me off guard. But lately, as my boys are getting older, they're really becoming like more and more aware of differences in people, and they're not shy to point them out. So anyway, we're at the grocery store and my middle son, who is 4, tapped me on my hand quietly and was asking me why the older man in our aisle was missing all his hair. And I immediately was like, shh, quiet. Don't worry, we'll talk about it later. And I'm like trying to keep him quiet because he was literally like a couple feet away from us. Well, that answer was obviously not good enough. And he kept asking like louder and louder. And so the poor man, like, he really like looked at us and then just went in the completely other direction. I was like mortified. I'm like, honey, shh, some people are bald. Like, I didn't even know what to say. It was horrible.
Oh, no. So that old man, just he didn't laugh at all?
No, he did like, not find it funny at all.
Aww. That's crazy. I would hope that if I was an old man who was bald, that I would just think it's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was not enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Like, kids will tell me I'm short. I feel like I've gotten the short one a lot. Or, like, you're not a grown-up. Like, you know, like, I just, it's just
funny. They're just honest. It's funny to hear what comes out of their mouths.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he wasn't being, he's just curious. He's not, he wasn't mean-spirited about it.
No, he was genuinely curious.
Old men lighten up.
Yeah.
No one cares that you don't have hair anymore.
Right. I mean, most men, it seems like, don't have all their hair. I mean, at least over 50%, I feel like.
Happened.
They're not in a minority or anything.
Thank you again, Addie. This has been tons of fun. And can you tell our listeners one more time, where are the best places for them to find you online?
You can go to frugalfanatic.com, and on the side you'll see all of my social media accounts or sign up for my newsletter. And the same thing for simplybloggingalong.com.
Great. Yes, this has been really fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's my first podcast ever.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Yay.
For the show notes, head to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/BBM113. So after chatting with Addie, we knew we had to get on the task of getting our book in audio format. We had already recorded the audiobook way back in May before we launched, but we'd been dragging our feet about the final steps to get our audiobook on Audible. So talking with Addie convinced us that we had to just get on that. And that's one thing I love about talking to different women about what they did or what's working for them. I feel like I always learn something new, or it encourages me to do something I've been putting off for a really long time. And our conversation with Addie is what made us finally get that audiobook submitted to Audible. So at the time this episode airs, our audiobook should be available on Audible in addition to Addie's audiobook, Breakthrough. If ours isn't there yet, it should be there in a couple of days. It has been submitted to Audible and approved. It's just taking a little bit of time for Audible to get it up there. But I'm hoping when this episode airs that it will be there, and if it's not there yet, within a couple of days. And for those of you listening for maybe the first time, our book is called Time Management Mama, Making Use of the Margins to Pursue Your Passions. So if you haven't given Audible a try, I would definitely encourage you to do that. You can actually get a book for free if you go to audibletrial.com/brilliantbusinessmoms. You can try Audible and get a free book. You could try Addie's book, or you could try our book, or you could try a different book altogether. I must say, I know I talk about Audible a lot, but I use Audible almost every day. For instance, today I'm doing laundry this afternoon. I do all my laundry in one day, or at least I try to. And so I'll be plowing through an audiobook. I'll get probably an hour and a half of an audiobook in today while I fold the laundry. So it's a great way for me to get through more books than I could if I was just reading. I love Audible. I listen to Audible when I eat my lunch almost every day too. Just a little 15-minute segment of whatever book I'm in the middle of. So if you want to try Audible, like I said, audibletrial.com/brilliantbusinessmoms. You can get a book for free. I have read Addie's book and it is fantastic. It's a great book for learning how to be a successful blogger. Or if you haven't tried our book yet, you could give that a try on Audible. Beth Ann and I actually narrated it ourselves. Okay, enough of a plug for audiobooks. I hope you're having a great day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.